Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Latin Generation Panel call on 1st of August, 2019. We have Bill, Mariana, Dennis, Mats, and Sarmad on the call. So over to you, Mariana.
So we have the same agenda and, as we had last meeting. We shall probably, I will give the lead to Dennis to start. We have where we have been stopped, where we have stopped last time, and trying to finish the discussion about sharp S and double S and so on. So Dennis, please take the lead. Michael just joined us.
Thank you, Mirjana. Before I start, Bill has raised his hand.
Yes. Last week, Dennis and I had a divergence of opinion over what the rules were for the registries when it came to variants. And I just wanted to say he was right. I was wrong. The I've reviewed the documents that Sarmad showed me, and I admit the people that I had been speaking with were misinformed. So just so that's somewhere in the record.
Thank you, Bill, for this. Thank you. So please, Dennis, go on.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, and to add to Bill's point, I mean, there are rules for the second level and rules for the top level domain name that are being in discussion. So yeah, it's easy to get confused, so no worries. All right, so another takeaway from last week, it was that it's clear for some of us the details around, or the all the possible scenarios around this issue of the sharp S, and it's not as clear for others. So I've tried to repurpose, if you will, the document and put it in a visual way such that we can agree on the issue and the possibilities. So let me please bear with me as I go through, unless everybody's okay and fully understands the differences between the allocation block, misconnection, failure of service. If everybody is on the same page, we can go ahead and just resume. But if not, I would like to for us to just go through this quick visual summary of the issues. Okay, here are no objections. So let me share my screen. And I'm hearing a beep, and I think that's my headset that's alerting me that it's going to die out in a few seconds. So let me switch to my head, my normal. That's going to be tricky. Hold on a second. All right. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, it's okay for me.
Okay. All right, so I'm one-handed now, but no worries. I'll try to do my best. All right, so let me share. Okay, so let me share my screen here and see if we can get this done. So, all right, so you should be looking at my screen now. Let me if I need the participants and also need the chat window. Yes, all right. Okay, so you are looking at my screen. Hopefully that's an slide. Is that correct? How do I see one? Okay, so we have two sections here. I mean, if you draw an imaginary line across the middle of the slide, in the upper section, we have the summary of the issue, right? It's the resolution issue, the stability issue of this character vis-a-vis the browsers that implement different protocols on the, if you're looking at the screen on your left hand, you have how the string.fast using the sharp S is treated differently depending upon the browser that is used. And that is because Chrome and Internet Explorer still working under the IDNA 2003 rules in which they map the character sharp S to a sequence of two-letter S. So you, if the user inputs dot fast using sharp S, they end up in a domain name that is F-A-S-S, right? And that may or may not exist. But if the user is using a different browser, namely Safari or Firefox, which have implemented IDNA 2008 rules, the current standards, then the resolution is one-to-one, right? There is no misdirection of the domain name. Okay. As far as just for completeness, on the right-hand side of the slide, for completeness, if the user inputs .fass, there is no different treatment as to the browser, right? SS, the sequence SS is just the ASCII S, so there is no different treatment. So there is no failure of service or misconnection whatsoever, right? The issue is that the treatment of the code point 00DF. Are we all on the same page here?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the now moving on to the bottom section, these are a visual representation of the four options that we have discussed thus far. So from option one to option four, so option one being the exclusion of the code point, option two include sharp S with a variant relationship with disposition value allocatable. Option three, same variant relationship, but with disposition value of block. And option four, include sharp S, but without variant relationship to the sequence SS. Okay? And then we have like a traffic light type of just characterization of each of these options vis-a-vis the stability issue, right? Where if we concentrate all of us to the top row, the gray row, which says eliminate the stability issue, option one is color in green because it eliminates the stability issue altogether. As far as option two and three, it's in orange because it does not, there is some aspects of the stability issue that those options address, but not everything. And option four, obviously, is red because it does not address the stability issue at all, right? And not in every single aspect. So if you imagine that we unfold that row into the issues of stability, right? The failure of service and misconnection. Well, option one is green all along, right? But option two is in orange because option two, making a variant relationship either allocatable or block, addresses the misconnection issue, right? Because making a variant relationship, and if the leading thought of having variants go to the same entity, meaning a same registry operator and same registrant, then the misconnection is most likely addressed, right? Because misconnection meaning that domain name or variants are going to be handled in a way that you should not end up in a different websites, right? Owned by different registrants. So making a varying relationship will address misconnection, but it does not address failure of services, because still that varying label may not be activated or is going to be blocked from registration, et cetera, et cetera. So you, in the case where you are using a Chrome or Internet Explorer browser, you will end up in a different domain name, which may not exist, and therefore the failure of service will exist. And just let just let me finish on option four. It's all red because no variant relationship meets that you will have the failure of service and misconnection. Mats, please go ahead.
If we look at option two, you say that address failure of servers, it does not, but it depends. It could address if the registry operator uses the both domain names or both TLDs, and it makes sure that both are used. So it could vary from green to red in a particular situation. So I think it's more fair to give it color orange to distinguish it from option three, where it's not misconnection, failure of service is not handled.
It's a valid point, and that's a good segue to the second slide, Matt. So hold your thought there, because yes, you are correct that in certain scenarios, that red could go to yellow, but it depends on different factors that the rules on LGR by itself cannot handle, right? Cannot manage, does not control. It's up to two levels of registry operators to decide what to do with that domain name at the end of the day. So let me switch or go to slide number two here. And do you all see, letters now are being are smaller. Can you all see the letters all right? Can you read all right? Or should I maybe
no
do this?
No problem at all.
Yeah,
can
it's
you still
good.
See?
Okay. That's nice. Now it's better.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So I only work out this mapping, if this visual, for just option two and the different scenarios that, as Matt said, it may be well addressed. That red could go to orange or maybe even green, but depending on other factors, right? And that's why I think it's important for us to take a look here. So let's concentrate on option two. And I may have not captured all scenarios, but I think because there are all different policies that can be implemented. But I think this is a good representation or characterization of the issue here. So again, option two is where we have a variant relationship of sharp S to the sequence SS, and the disposition value is allocatable. Okay? We still have the issue of the Chrome and Internet Explorer browsers doing the IDNA 2003 treatment to sharp S. At the roots on LGR, what we're defining here, what we're discussing and trying to resolve, whether we include it or not, but this is the option two, which would be included with a variant relationship, right? But just including that into the repertoire and making variants to, for example, a string FA sharp S to FASS does not completely resolve the problem. Because there are three scenarios, at least what I can draw from the recommendations to manage TLDs, is that you have three scenarios here where if a registry operator applies for fa.fa/s, then there are three possible options for the variant FASS. One is that it remains withheld and not activated. And let me talk about those symbols later. Option number two is that the variant.fass is allocated but not activated, right? It's and in that option, to be allocated, that means that the registry operator will have to apply for that variant label, right? And go through the process, pay the fees, et cetera, et cetera. And the third option is that it would be, the third option is that the variant label dot FAS is activated into the root zone, right? But now, of course, to activate it, that means that the registry operator apply for the variant label and pay the fees, go through the process, and activate those at the top level. At this point, there is no guarantee, let me pause here. Let me just pause here and take some question comments. I see Bill's hand.
Bill, please. Yes, I'm just curious if any consideration has been given where you have variant names like this to allowing the registry operator to apply for it without a fee, on the condition that anybody who's registered with a second level domain in one is automatically registered to the other one as well, also without fee. I'm just curious whether anybody's even thought about that. Thank you.
The short answer, Bill, I think is I don't know. We are talking about two different levels of registry operators, right? At the top level, of course, is ICANN. And the thoughts or recommendations is that at the top level, so variant labels that at the top level, they are treated as single TLDs. I mean, making them variants will, of course, make some, there will be some contract requirements as to how they should be managed, but they are independent TLDs. And then if you go to the second level, right, those registry operators managing second level domain names on those top level domain names, they have policy. They will have on top of that policies as to whether they may very well a business model where any variant is a independent registration, right? Of course, maybe working on the principle that all variants go to the same registrant, so that's not a problem. But any single activation of a variant is an independent registration, therefore independent fees, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Or it could be very well a business model where you activate one and then you just, you know, switch you have a switch on and off for all other variants with a nominal fee. I mean, that's going to be up to the registry operator of the second level how they are going to manage those variants. And as far as I can, it's right now the recommendation is that they are independent TLDs, so each one of those have independent fees, independent processes, but they need to go to the same registry operator, right? So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. Michael, please go ahead. Michael, if you're speaking, you're on mute. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Go.
Ah, cool. Thanks. But just to clarify your explanation, that the registrar will charge a fee for a variant and not automatically assign it to who's ever registered the label which has a variant or multiple variants is an assumption on your part. Is that correct?
When you're talking about registrar, you're talking the second level. We're not there yet.
Okay. For the person who applies for a label at the root zone level and holds that label and is able then to allocate also sublabels. But whoever registers .fast
is a registry operator. That's a registry operator.
Thank you. So the operator, if they charge for assigning or allocating a variant or not, is an assumption on your part, and it's not given or clear, right?
Yeah, it's a... So ICANN is the registry of ICANN is the registry operator of the root zone. So they charge a fee for second level domain name registry operators to charge for that. I mean top level domain name. Now, if you're talking about, for example, VeriSign is a second level domain name registry operator. I think that's not technically correct, but for the purpose of this example. VeriSign charges for every single registration in the .com registry a fee to a registrar. And the registrar is, they have their business model and they can charge anything to their registrants. So there are different levels as to how activations can be, charged.
I understand, but that people charge for activating a variant is not an automatic process, correct?
No.
It depends on the registry operators. I mean, I know that certain registry operators today that manage, namely in China, because I think they have variant TLDs, they charge a nominal fee to activate variants. But I know that there are conversations in the industry that variants should be handled as independent registrations. So if you charge for a registration $5, you will charge $5 for each variant that is activated. So it's up to the registry operator to decide how they want to charge for those activations.
I understand that. My point being that we cannot assume automatically that it is not activated because there may be some incentive or some reason for the operators or the registrars to do so. So I think we should balance this out in our estimation regarding what may occur and what may not occur.
I mean, it's a possibility that is
exactly.
At the top level, it's never activated. Or could be activated, right? As it's on the three options on the top, could be not activated or could be activated. And same as the bottom three rows on example.fast, for example, where they are not activated and they are activated. So we're trying to cover all the spectrum here.
Okay, I think I explained that point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Matt, please go ahead.
Yeah, when it comes to terminology, I mean, registry operator is the one that holds the TLD. So ICANN is not a registry operator. And then we have a registrant. I think if we keep this, ICANN for the root zone, registry operator for the TLD, and the registrant that registers example. .fast, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. If we all agree on that convention, I think we can have, using the same terminology. I like that, Mats, right? Yeah. ICANN root zone registry operator for the top level domain name, and the registrar is the one that registers.
Registrant.
Yeah, registrant through the registrar. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So, I mean, you're right about this complexity that even if .fast with two S is allocatable it's allocatable if you registered or if you've got fast with sharp S. It's still up to the registry operator to apply for it or not. But if it's allocatable, it's a possibility, and the registry operator can see if it lies in its business plan to make this allocation to activate it or not. So it opens for the possibility. And then it depends on the interest.
Correct. So
we cannot steer that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mats. Michael, is that a new hand? Michael, you're speaking, you're on mute.
Ah, sorry. Yes, I wanted to say one thing in response to what Matt said, that it is a possibility, but then also, for example, that that there is an issue because of the browser platform used in this scenario is also a possibility. So I think we should like consider the possibilities, the maximum of our projection, more or less. We should not go significantly beyond that. And secondly, before Dennis, you mentioned that there is a recommendation on the part of ICANN to treat variant labels as kind of independent labels. And I think that it's clear from our discussion that from a point of view of the user community and the point of view of accessibility, this is clearly not desirable. So I would like to put forward the suggestion for LatinGP to suggest to ICANN to change that policy recommendation to that in such a sense that variants should not be made difficult to allocate, and there should not be necessarily a fee to allocate them, because they're in the interest of the accessibility, so as to stop failure of service, as you call it here. Thank you.
That's a... So one thing, there is no policy yet. The recommendation has its own merits, and I don't think we... So I will invite you to read through the documentation so that you understand the details and the complexity of not doing that. Let me just say this, right? There is a conflict as to also a recommendation as to minimize the allocatable variance because of the complexity of managing all of the variations. So just allowing that variants are allocatable automatically, or register operator just can say a la carte, say, yes, I want all these variants allocated. So that creates a problem. So putting a fee and all these constraints make a register operator, you know, think about doing the activations. But I mean, I don't want to talk about this because that's outside our remit. Let's put it aside, please. I think Mirjana and then Michael again.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the similar thing as you said. This is not in the scope of this working group to recommend anything. How I can will charge allocation and activation of the variants. It could be probably discussed in some other groups, but I don't think that LatinGP should give any recommendations concerning this, because it is out of our scope of our group. Thank you. So I'm just repeating what Dennis said. Thank you.
Thank you, Mirjana. Michael?
Yes, so I understand it's not immediately the scope of our work, but it's clear that it has implication on our rationale, our thinking, and our user community. So in that case, I think GPs should make suggestions and comments on such standards where they are relevant. Just as we, for example, would comment on the integration panel standards such as the MSR and so on, because we saw problems from a point of view of the user community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mecca. Let's draw a line there and continue with our discussion. So again, just to quickly recap.
May I just comment there? Yes. I mean, the ICANN process is open, so anyone could participate and send comments to GNSO and CCNSO about this.
Thank you, Matt. All right. So again, recapping on the .fast. So if, again, the scenario where we have a valid relationship with Sharp S to SS allocatable, so that means if a registry operator applies for the top level domain name .fast with Sharp S, there are three possibilities that the variant TLD .fast with double S remains withheld, is allocated to the registry operator but not activated. And the third option is that .fast, the variant TLD .fast is activated and managed by the same registry operator, right? In each of what these options, there is a certain degree of how the misconnection and failure of service are addressed, right? In all three options, misconnection, right, that symbol that equals with a strike through on the middle of it, that means misconnection. In all of these three options, misconnection is addressed, right, as we talked before, earlier, that making a variant relationship will eliminate or prevent misconnection. But as far as the denial of a failure of service, the first two options do not address that because the variant is not activated. Therefore, it is possible for the user that uses Chrome and Internet Explorer will go to a different domain name that it will not exist. But as, but on the third option, it's a you see a orange X because there may be a possibility in which the failure of service is addressed. And let me pause here because I see Michael's hand. Please, Michael, go ahead.
Yes. Matt, you could finish your explanation and discussion of the slides. I think it's a very good slide. I think we still need to have a discussion in how far failure of service is equally important or of the same rank as misconnection in the sense that it's really a problem. I already tried last time to explain on the basis of email addresses that there it seems not to be considered such a problem that it stops people from giving out and using such email addresses, which may result in failure of service. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, let's continue. So in the third case where .fast is activated, of course, that allows for a registry operator to offer second level domain names on the variant TLD. So if a registrant registers, now we are moving away from the top level to second level domain name, right? Now we are not talking about the registry operator applying for the top level domain name, but a registrant registering a second level domain name in those variant TLDs. So we have a registrant register example .fast with sharp S. And it may be that the policy of the registry operator could be that the variant domain name remains blocked or withheld from registration, right? That's box number one. The following box is the example .fast is allocated to the registrant, but the registrant chooses not to activate it. And the third option could be that example .fast, the variant, is activated, right? And each of these options have a degree of addressing those two issues. All three issues, again, they address misconnection, but only the third option when the domain name, the variant domain name is activated, that's when failure of service also is addressed. because at that moment, and of course, we are assuming that these are domain names, different domain names, so the registrant will have to set up the same page. I mean, they will have to do something in order to offer the same user experience, not just automatically, right? Those who understand how you develop and put DNS services or a web service, there is no magic that, because these are variants, they are going to be resolved to the same, right? There has to be some management on the registrant side in order to offer the same user experience. But let's assume that's the case. That the registrant set up web services for the two variant domain names, right? Example.fast with sharp S and example.fast with double S to the same website. So regardless of which domain, which internet browser you use, you will see the same website, right? You will see the same website, but you will resolve to a different domain name. That's still is the issue, but it's somewhat mitigated because the registrant took the effort to register both variant domain names and activating to resolve to the same website. So is that, so let me pause here, stop and see if there are any questions, comments, observations. Bill, please go ahead.
Yes. Assuming I've understood the whole discussion, I'm reluctantly coming to the belief that we need to remove the sharp S from our repertoire altogether until and unless those other two large browsers get themselves pulled together. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Certainly, the option one is the option that most that basically eliminates the stability issue altogether, because there is no guarantee that all of these scenarios will happen such that these two variant domain names resolve to the same registrant. So, Mats, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Mr. Sarma, I'd like to make a comment.
I think it's interesting that .de has decided to let Sharp S being registered and without any variant management. I wonder what their experience is.
Yeah, that's a very good question, Matt. But we don't have Michael to comment, but I go to Sarmat first and then Michael.
Thank you again. Sorry, I cannot raise hand being the host. I have a slightly separate question. Suppose the stability issue is resolved. So let's say 3 years from now, all the browsers are supporting IDNA 2008. I guess given that scenario and given, I guess, the linguistic reality of how Sharp S is treated, vis-a-vis double.
Sarmat, we don't hear you.
Sarma, we lost you. We lost your audio. Okay, we'll let Sarma address the audio issue. Michael, do you want to comment something? Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I think there was just discussion in between, or mentioned in between Mats and you about the policy of DNIC regarding SSET and the sequence of 2S. I don't think we need to discuss this any further because we already have the collected view of all the German community registrars, that is the Swiss one, the Austrian one, and the German one, regarding their views, how these things should be resolved. And the recommendation was documented by Michael or Michael in our proposal. Thank you.
So let me react to that, Michael. What we have is the opinion of individuals working for those registry operators, but I think what should be noted or on record is their policies. And what Matt brought up was correct. .de policy is to offer those two character, I mean, the sharp S with no variant relationship with double S, and switch and .at do not offer the sharp S at all. So those are the registry policies. I mean, we can appreciate their opinions, but I mean, it's just that, an opinion of how it should be done. But I mean, it's contrary to what the registry operator is doing. Let me, Sarma, did you come back with audio? If I'll let you finish what you started. And right. Then go to Matt and then Michael.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I was, I'm not sure how much how much came through. I was basically saying that if we, in option one, we're saying don't include sharp S now. So let's say 2-3 years later, when all the browsers are supporting hopefully IDNA 2008, Latin GP considers that sharp S should now be included back in, given the linguistic context of how German treats sharp S and double S. I guess the question would be that in that scenario where the stability argument is taken aside, what would be the solution? I guess just trying to raise that, you know, that kind of thinking in this equation as well, just to see that when it comes back, does it come back with option two or option three or option four? I guess that's a question. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. I have Matt and then Meka.
Yeah, just for the completeness, that there are more TLDs that offer sharp S than just the .de. I mean, there are new gTLD that offer sharp S, but I have no information on how many and if they have any registrations. Comment to Sarmad, I think that's a really valid point. And what we should think is that the root should be more conservative, more cautious than the next level, than the second level. Thank you.
Thank you, Mats. And just to quickly react to that, I think one of the options, right, and the exclusion at some point, I think we talked about that exclusion is too harsh or too extreme as an option. It would be I think what we could recommend is a deferral of inclusion until, you know, something happens, which is resolution of the IDNA 2003 issues with Chroma Internet Explorer, because there is no set time that will happen. We don't know, but maybe what we could recommend is a deferral up to the point where those issues are resolved, and then you can introduce that with I don't know if we can foresee what solution we can do, but I mean, maybe something for discussion, depending upon what result, what option we recommend at the end. I think I have Michael and then Max.
Yes. So in response to Sarmat's comment, I think from a linguistic point of view, the situation is very clear. Sharp S is clearly used. It's used in a stable way. So it should be included from a linguistic point of view. And in response to the comment you just made, Dennis, regarding whether we should term this exclusion or deferral at this stage, again, this takes possibilities as clear cases or as granted, because a deferral de facto equals exclusion, because there is no guarantee that the Latin GP would reconvene, particularly given if we consider how difficile and how complex the issue of the Latin GP because of the wide user community is, and also that an IP would then agree to a second version of the LGR. So even if we may consider something a deferral right now, without such a guarantee, basically this may be the same as an exclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Matt?
Yeah, I agree with Michael. I mean, we only propose inclusion. And what's outside of inclusion is something that could be discussed in the future. But there is no difference between deferral and exclusion. It's not included.
Then
I think that we should go back to what Sarmad talked about. I mean, let us pretend that Chrome and Internet Explorer worked in the IDNA 2008 way today already. So what option do we prefer then? If we go back to the previous slide, so let's say that we don't have the problem of Internet Explorer and Chrome. What option would we have chosen then? I think that is interesting. Thank you.
Hello, Dennis. You are muted.
I'm sorry. Yes, I was talking on mute. So I have Michael de Mirjana.
Okay. Yeah. Michael, you are muted.
Oh, sorry. I just want to say that I agree with Matt's suggestion, and that we should weigh those options separately. Thank you.
Then me? I hope so. We are discussing a pretty long time. We spend a lot of time discussing the problem, which is caused by a few companies, which does not implement the latest standard, which is approved and which is implemented in the other, let's say, products used on the internet. On the other hand, the main problem and the most used service on the internet is a web service. And we are talking about two web browsers, which are not updated to the latest standard. So my view is to think that those two companies has implemented IDN 2008 and include SharpS and .S without any variant relationship as German CCTLD was doing. And we can explain which what are the problems with those two browsers, and we just have to make a statement what we have found, and that we think that all the players in the on the internet ground should accept to follow specific standards. Thank you.
Thank you, Mirjana. Bill?
And
then Michael?
I have to take the opposite position from Mirjana. I think we have to deal with the real universe that we're stuck with, however unfortunate the failure of two major browser companies to come up to current standards is. The reality is that we have a huge portion of the internet using community that uses those browsers, and I don't think we can ignore that while we're making our recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Michael?
Thank you. In response to what Mirjana said, I just want to point out that it seems to me that, so I agree that both S and Sharp S should be included. Obviously, we don't have a choice about S. But if we include them without a variant, if we include them without a variant rule, it seems to me that a variant rule where both are locked variants would be preferable to one where we include them separately, because it would yield the same situation but eliminate part of the issue. And in response to what Bill just said, I just wanted to restate the fact that failure of service is based on implementation of other standards, such as internationalized email, not viewed as such a problem as, for example, misconnection. So I think we should mostly be concerned with misconnection, not failure of service. Thank you.
This is Sarmad. I'd like to make a comment as well.
Go ahead, Sarmad, and then Mats.
Thank you. So basically, I think what I was eventually getting at in my previous comment was that I think, sure, there is a universe which we exist in right now, and there are certain constraints. There is also going to be changes, assuming there will be changes with all of these browsers will eventually become compatible to IDNA 2008. So I guess the one way to look at it would be that what would be a good solution, which what would be the best possible solution which works in today's universe, which in a way least impacts the quote-unquote correct solution in the universe where everybody was eventually implementing IDNA 2008. So that if there is a change needed eventually 2 or 3 years down the road, it is not somehow blocked by a decision which is made today, given the current scenario. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. We have Matt.
Yeah, I think that Sarmad expressed it very well. So I think that we should look at what are good solutions in the today's situation, and what would be a good solution when Chrome and has changed to IBM 8 2008, and Internet Explorer is not used anymore.
Yeah, we can take that as an action item to look at for next week. And Bill asking on the chat, can we find out when well, it's hard to say. Let me see if I can bring something here on. So I know Google has, through its Chromium, back tool, they're following up on this issue, but there is no clearly deadline or target date for them to migrate. And I think I was less lucky if with Microsoft, because I couldn't find any information at all. But it's not soon. Let me tell you.
And I thought that Edge had support, but not Internet Explorer. Or am I wrong?
I don't know. I don't have Edge. So if anybody has Edge on their computers, please do the test and let us know what's the result. I thought Edge and Explorer kind of behave the same because they are on the same platform, but. But if there's a difference, let's capture that.
Completely different code.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But I mean, same principles, I guess, from Microsoft, right? But yeah, if somebody has Edge, let us know. We are 1 minute, so I have, I guess, Matt, that's an all hands. So I have Hassan and Mako, please. You can make a quick intervention. That'd be great. Thank you.
Yes. I just wanted to say that Microsoft has just switched the browser engine from their own system for Edge to Google Chrome's system. So potentially, if the issue is fixed in Chrome, it should also be fixed in Edge. And Internet Explorer is already deprecated, from what I understand, because obviously they're developing Edge, so it will become not a standard thing and out of service at some point. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Hassan?
Yes. I just want to say it doesn't differ when they offer the IDNA 2008, because even if they update their browser, there will be a good amount of users who did not update their browsers. So they will still be working on the old one. So
that's thank you, Hassan. That's a good point, yes. Which happens with software. So with that, close the discussion. I'll turn it over to you, Mirjana, for closure.
We are closing today conference. Thank you all for being present at this conference. We shall have next conference next Thursday at the same time. And have a good time, and that's all from me for today. Bye, and hear you next Thursday again.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.